Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
When you and I look at the Bible, in the book of Psalm 100, the Bible says to make a joyful noise before the Lord, all your lands, come before the Lord with singing. The Bible says that we come into His presence in verse number 4 with thanksgiving. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18, and I know that all of us are familiar with this, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. I have no doubt in my mind that every one of us today and throughout this week, and I'm sure at other times during the year, that you and I have the attitude and the concept of thanksgiving. In the book of Philippians chapter number 4, the Bible says for us to be not anxious in anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And then Paul says to us in Philippians chapter 4 that we do so with thanksgiving. When you and I read both the Old and New Testament, you and I will find that over and over again in the Bible that this word thanksgiving or thankfulness or thanking God has been a prevalent part of the Holy Scriptures. That when you and I, for an example, go back to the Old Testament and we read about the children of Israel, how they came out of Egyptian bondage, and we're going to refer to them again in just a few minutes, how they came out of Egyptian bondage and how they crossed over the Red Sea, you and I know that there was a period of rejoicing and praise to God because He had delivered them from the afflictor. And so you and I understand this. You and I know what the Bible teaches us regarding thanksgiving and that you and I ought to have a heart of thanksgiving. Turn in your Bibles, and I want you to just put your marker there. But in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, we're going to come back to that in just a few minutes. But I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter number 2, because actually what we have in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we have the record of Hannah asking God for a child and God giving her, or God gave her a child by the name of Samuel, and she dedicated him to the Lord. Now then, in 1 Samuel chapter number 2, we're going to go back and look at that in just a few minutes. But when you and I now focus on all this concept of thanksgiving, and that you and I have been blessed in so many ways, I want today to look with you at what I have referred to as 5 levels of thanksgiving. And that each one of us must find ourselves in one of these levels. But now before we look at that, in Washington, D.C., there is a plaza, there is a subway there. There is a plaza, it's called L'Enfant Plaza in Washington, D.C. There was a young man went to that plaza, which is a subway station, where a lot of commuters are there going back and forth. And this young man went to that plaza. He was dressed in a ball cap. He had on just a t-shirt and faded jeans. And he brought with him an instrument, a violin. And he had a can. And he set down the can where he was about to play. And I'm sure many of you have seen these kind of things. If you've been down on Peachtree Street in Atlanta, or maybe you've been in some other city and you're touring that city and you'll go by and here are some individuals and they're playing some kind of music and they've got a little can sitting there and you can contribute to them, put money in the can in order to show your appreciation for their musical abilities and talents and maybe just helping them out. So this young man was sitting at the plaza. He had this can that he had set there, and he had put some change in it, kind of seed money. You know, somebody sees that and they say, well, maybe I ought to contribute to that young man as well. Now on that day, there were probably 1,000 folks in the period of time that went by there. And they perhaps heard this guy playing on this violin. And when he left, he got his can, and he had a total of $32 in that can. Now, one of the interesting things about that was that this young man's name happened to be Joshua Bell. Now, I don't know about you, but I doubt it would ring a bell with most folks in this assembly. As a matter of fact, I had to do a little research because the name Joshua Bell didn't ring a bell to me. Now, I want to go, and one of these days, one of my goals in life is to go to Boston and to hear the Boston Pops Orchestra in Boston, Massachusetts. Now, when I'm 85 or 90 years old, I probably will get to do that. But at any rate, this man, his name was Joshua Bell. But here's the interesting thing about Joshua Bell. When he sat outside on that plaza and he played that violin, the violin that he played was a 1713. It was called a Gibson X Huberman violin that was made by Antonio Stradivari. And the musical composition that he played was probably one of the most difficult as well as one of the most well-known Bach compositions that have been written. 3 days before this day that he was in this plaza in Washington, D.C., he played with the Boston Symphony to a full house where the tickets sold for $100 a seat. And we are told that this man, every time he plays the violin, that he makes $1,000 a minute. But here he was in a plaza, and folks are passing by, and they're going by, and they're going by, and here this young man is playing this violin, and he is playing this composition, one of the best known compositions by Bach, on a Stradivari built by Antonio Stradivari on that violin where very few people have ever seen or come near. And these folks pass by, I think, on the other side. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I want you and I to make note of this. And that is in my activities, on a day-to-day basis. How many times have we in life passed by the opportunities to be thankful to God for the blessings that He has given us? You know that the Washington Post, this took place on January 12th in 2007, and the Washington Post set this up in order to get an idea of the views of individuals or the reaction of individuals to such a situation and occurrence as that. But ladies and gentlemen, I ask you and I the question today, how many times do you and I on a day-to-day basis that you and I pass by the blessings, we pass by the opportunities, we pass by the praise, we pass by the joy that God has provided for us on a day-to-day basis, and we just sort of, I mean, these folks no doubt went by and they said, I hear that music and it's kind of lingering in the background, and yet it never makes a direct impression upon their life. This is Thanksgiving week. God, we thank you. You've been a great blessing to us, and we thank you for all this. And you see, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm starting up here. I'm not preaching from back there up to here. I'm starting here, ladies and gentlemen, and going from here back to let you know as well that every one of us in our lives, we pass by the opportunity to express our love and our thanks to God for the great blessings that He has given to us. I've got 5 levels of thanksgiving. 5 areas, 5 levels. And you and I, as we look at these levels, which level are you and I on today in Thanksgiving? Let me look at level number 1. Level number 1, and I don't have a particular title to where that it will be. All of a sudden I've got level number 1 is I call the level of complaining and grumbling level. You see, ladies and gentlemen, how many times do I look out at life and I'm complaining and I'm whining and I'm grumbling because, well, so-and-so over here, they've got this, and so-and-so's over there got that, and I'm sorry, preacher, but I just can't do this. And You see, we get into this situation in our life, and I have a Bible example for this. You go back to the Old Testament, the book of Exodus. God has delivered the children of Israel for 400 years. They've been in bondage. For 400 years, they've had a taskmaster. For years, they've had these men. And you remember when Moses finally goes down to deliver them out of the bondage? They're not sure whether they want this or not. And as a matter of fact, when he goes to Pharaoh and he said, "You let my people go," and Pharaoh said to the taskmasters, "Look, if they've got time in order to go out into the wilderness and worship, don't give them any more straw for their bricks. You make them work harder for their bricks in order to do the buildings that I won't build." And so the taskmasters made it more difficult for them. Now don't you think, ladies and gentlemen, that when the day came for them to get out of there, they're going to say, "Ooh, man." And God delivered them. God took them across the Red Sea. He parted it. They went through on dry land. They came out and they had a celebration. 3 days later. Think about this. 3 days later, ladies and gentlemen, you know what they were doing? They were whining and griping and complaining. God had just delivered them from 400 years of bondage. And over a period of a short period of time, and they go through the Red Sea and they're out. Now, that's not all. When you go to the 16th chapter, in chapter 15, you go to the 16th chapter of the book of Exodus, and here's what you find in Exodus chapter 16. Now we are 45 days out, and they're complaining to Moses, and they're saying, "Man, what's the matter with you? You brought us out here to die. Were there not enough graves back in Egypt to bury us? And you brought us out here in the wilderness to let us die?" Ladies and gentlemen, are you a grumbler? Am I a grumbler? Am I saying, "Oh, woe is me. Oh, God, if they only knew what I was going through." When you and I find ourselves in this grumbling and whining and complaining, are we in level number one? Level number two. Level number one is negative. Level number two is not as much negative, but it is a level in which, well, we're really not that thankful. We just don't have time to be thankful. And I think about Luke chapter 17. You remember the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. And you remember that one turned back to express love and thanks and appreciation to Christ for what He had done. And you remember Jesus said, "Were there not nine cleansed?" I thought about the little boy who went to somebody's house to eat dinner one day. And they were not... Christianity wasn't important to them. And they set the food on the table and everybody just began to eat. Nobody said the blessing. And the little boy said, "Y'all just like my dog. You just start right in." Have you and I, ladies and gentlemen, are we on this level? Oh no, we're not griping and we're not grumbling and we're not complaining, but God, I just don't have time to fool with you. Now, I want to put in parenthesis. I want to talk to the parents for about 3 minutes. Mom and Dad, I want to talk to you a minute. How many parents have taught their children to write thank you notes to folks who've done things for them? You know, it's kind of interesting. It may be that a child receives something from a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle or a neighbor or a friend or someone whom they know, and they just take it in and say, "Wow, boy, this is great. I mean, I'm enjoying this." Mom, Dad, you need to get some pads and have your child's name printed on the top of that pad. And you need to sit down with your children regardless of how young they are, and start teaching them how to write and how to send and how to express thanks to someone who has done something for them. So that then when the time comes and they get in high school or they get in college and things take place and folks help them in some way, folks give them a gift in some way, that the first thought comes in their mind, I need to let that person know, and I need to send them a thank you note. 9 out of 10 parents. That's my own guess. I have no idea. But I would guess 9 out of 10 parents have never considered the possibility. Let me say something, Mom and Daddy. And let me say something to Mom. Mama's the one who, you know what Mama does? Mama sometimes does it for them. Have you ever received a thank you note? You know it came from Mama. Kid, they ain't got enough sense to know what to say like that. No, you don't send it for them. You teach them how to do it. Oh, yeah, they're a year. Well, now, Brother Acuff, they're just a year old. Well, then you sit down. You can kind of take their hand, kind of write and guide and get them going. I understand that. They can make a mark. But then as they grow, see, level number 2 is I'm not griping and I'm not whining and I'm not complaining, but I'm like the 9. I just take whatever comes to me and I'm just going to go on out here and do whatever I do. Level number 3. Level number 3 is a little more positive. And that is this, that the Bible, you know, here I thank God, man, look at all the blessings that I've received. I mean, folks, look. I don't know. I mean, I didn't like to figure this out, but this congregation has been so generous to Janet and me. I mean, there are so many things that you have blessed us with, and God forbid that if we should ever fail to express our love and our appreciation to you and say thank you for what you have done. And all of us, you know, all of a sudden we get a raise at work and we say, God, thank you so much. We do that, don't you? You sure you do. That's level number 3. We thank God. Look at what He's done for us. We go somewhere and we have a trip. We're going to Fayetteville, Alabama. We had a prayer. God blessed us. Have a safe trip. We thank God for that. Now then, let me give you level number 4. Level number 4 is thanking God, not only thanking God for those blessings, but thanking God for the tough times. I thank God that I have been able, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a family in this congregation today who has not experienced at one time or another some kind of difficulty in their life. It's been tough. There's been sickness. There's been death. There's been all of financial problems. And we look at those times, and when we get through them, we thank God. I thank God that I was able to stand up. I was able to bear it. I was able to get through it. I'm a stronger Christian as a result of that. Now then, that's 4 levels. Level number 1, we gripe and complain. Level number 2, we don't gripe and complain. Level number 3, we thank God for what the good things we've had. Level number 4, we thank God not only for the good things. And I think about the apostles in Acts chapter 3, 4, 5. If you read the book of Acts, you remember they went before the magistrates and they said, you can't speak in His name. And they said, well, we can't help but preach and teach the things we have heard. And they walk out and guess what they do? They begin to preach and teach just exactly what they told them not to do. And they beat them. And they come out and they said, thank God we're able to suffer for Him. Paul and Silas in Acts 16 did that, didn't they? The Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto God and the prisoners heard them. That's level 4. Somebody's saying, wait a minute. Hey, whoa, preacher, you talk about level 1, whining and complaining. You talk about level 2, we just don't do anything. We talk about level 3, that we thank God for the blessings. Level 4, we thank Him for the blessings and the tough time. You mean tell me there's another level? Yeah. Now turn your Bibles with me to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. I want you to look at what we find in 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I want to show you a different perspective for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll sing the song of encouragement. In the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, you remember that Hannah has prayed. God blessed her. The Bible says in verse number 5 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, "But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah." That was Elkanah, her husband. "Her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." Now her son, "What's wrong with you, woman?" And she said, "Well, I'm not having a child." And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts," verse 11, chapter 1, "if thou wilt indeed," here's her prayer, "look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon him." And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. God blessed her. Now you think about this. Well, how would you react to that, ladies and gentlemen? I've been praying. I haven't had a child. I've been ridiculed. I don't have a child. And I pray, "God, don't forget your handmaid." And God said, "I'm not going to forget you. I won't forget you. I'm going to give you a child." And God did. And she did what she said she would do. She said, "If you'll give me a child, he will be dedicated to the Lord all of his life." And he was. Now, I doubt most of us have read at length or read in detail 1 Samuel chapter 2. You look at Hannah, you look at Hannah, and she has this child. Now I want to ask you a question. Have you ever been praying for something diligently and God gives it to you? I know what it is. God, you've been praying diligently for something and God gives it to you. The doctor says, "I'm not sure, you may have cancer," and you pray and you ask the church to pray and you go back for the next test and lo and behold, guess what? It's gone. There. You and I experience those things. We say, and what do? We do what's natural. We say, "God, thank you." But I want you to take this one step farther. Hannah went back to God. And very little is said by Hannah to God regarding the answer of her prayer. You know what she did? Instead of saying, "God, thank you for my child. I really pray you did. God bless, man, that's wonderful." No. You know what she did? Ladies and gentlemen, she praised and submitted to the God of heaven. Now go with me. I'm not going to read all these verses. 1 Samuel chapter number 2, you can read them. First 10 verses. When you get home, first 11 verses. When you get home. I just want you to underscore something. Two or three things. Verse 2, she said, "There is none holy as the Lord." Verse number 3, "For the Lord is a God of knowledge." Verse number 4, "The vows of mighty men are broken," and I'm paraphrasing the next, "by the Lord." Verse number 7, "The Lord maketh the poor, the Lord maketh poor and maketh rich." Verse number 8, "He raiseth up the poor." Verse number 9, "He'll keep the feet of his saints." You see, ladies and gentlemen, Hannah said, "I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to submit to the Lord." You see, I can be thankful for a week. But Lord, I might be back next week and I might not. I might be back next month and I might not. I might be back in the next 6 months and I might not. You think that was Hannah? You see, Hannah took this to a different level. And the level with which she took it was the level of complete praise and devotion and dedication to God. Which level, ladies and gentlemen, are you and I on today? Are we on level number one? Are we on level number two? Are we on level number three and say, Lord, thank you. I'm grateful to you for what you've done for me. Are we on level number four and say, yeah, God, I'm thankful for the good thing, but I've learned something from the bad. Or are we on level number five and we say, God, here I am to praise and submit and to do your will. You see, thankfulness, ladies and gentlemen, I think of the words in the back, I let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You see, when I think about not in the back, excuse me. The Lord's in His holy temple is the back. When I say, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, is it seen then in my actions? Where am I? What level am I on? Am I on level five? You may say, Brother Acuff, wait a minute. I'm just barely out of level number one. That's all right. Just keep working to get up to level number two and level number three. And you will. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful.